session number 19129, reel 8.
Did you never get shelled? And they never.
You only had two or three guns, Jerry. We used to set one or two over now and again, you know. Used to get shelled. He'd set two or three rounds away. And these planes just come over and over and over any time. Two of the brothers.
What did they do? Did they just fire at you?
No, well, they just dropped bomb. They were after the artillery, really, you know. They were way behind us.
But you said once that they came over and they were lower than what you were sometimes. Be...
Oh, that was a Sedgenian. They were after the bloody artillery in the wood, on the edge of the wood. That was a couple of days before we were captured. Well, they were, we saw them. As we were up this hill, it was like flat for a mile or more, in a big wood, where the artillery was on the edge. And they came in, we were looking down at them, dropped the bombs, strapped. Away.
Did nobody take any pot shots at them?
Well, they were too far back, man. Oh, I should imagine some of the bombs in the middle of the war.
You never saw any RAF planes flying around then? Or the arrows just going over?
I saw a Spitfire once, that was all. You'd see one or two bombers now and again, well up. Don't know where they'd been. Maybe bomb chillness as well, deserted or somewhere like that.
So how long were you on that position on the hill? How long was that for?
We were there about 6 weeks all together to getting captured.
And then
so we were there.
But when you're on the side of the hill, were there like the generals, were there like hoping for like a breakthrough somewhere else or something? Is that what you were?
Oh, that's when they pulled us back. They pulled us out and we went further down to Sedgenian. And they were going to have a go up that way. On went in the Sunday morning. We went in on the Monday. Went in three times.
No, I mean before that you were it was like you're on the side of the hill. When you first got there, you know, those positions.
Hmm?
What you've just been talking about, you know, your first positions you moved into, where you were.
Oh, right.
Now, you were there, and then that was like a stalemate, so they obviously pulled you back.
Hmm.
I mean, what did you think about it at the time? What did you think was going on? Because you were like...
Oh, we hadn't a clue.
But when you were there, did you think that maybe you'd be attacking up the hill or something? Is that what people were thinking?
We expected him counterattacking. Oh, we're always on the alert, may I? And then he'd never come off that way he was. We couldn't get through it.
Did they not try to shell them?
Oh, they used to shell that, yep. Oh, they had the Yankees. They had the Yankee artillery there. Pretty long tones. I've got the buggers on one night.
What do you mean?
I was on stand two. In the stand in the trench, you know. Used to have these tins. Just put a hole through the lid. Get down the trench and throw a top coat over somebody who's a light a cigarette.
were you allowed to do that?
No. Used to have the tins, see? Used to have the cigarette in. You stand there, yeah. Smoke. Take the tin off, you know. There you go. Foster. And there he was, having a bit. Oh, this night was dead quiet. There wasn't a sound. Middle of the night, you know. Clear, no wind up anything. And I heard these rail up on the 2 or 3 mile away. Engines going. This is some bloody tanks or something up there or something. So I got the officer, Lieutenant Duke. I said, "Sir," I said, "I'm here. The motor engines over there, I had good ears then." He says, "How far away do you reckon they are?" I says, "About 2 or 3 mile." So we had a radio officer with us as well, you know. He radioed back to the bloody artillery where they'd know exactly the map from where we were. And the sound of that, the engines, and the range, and where they were, they'd know exactly, work the range out. We're about 20 minutes after the bloody long tone started. Ooh, the bloody flashes were going, you know, watch them. And it was long before we took prisoner. When we got took prisoner, when they marched us back, we marched through this wood, and there was bloody utensils and all sorts up in the trees where they'd, they'd blasted the bugger, bits of bloody wagons and all sorts. Bits of bloody. So it must have been there where they got them.
What were you saying about the tins? You can have a quiet smoke there.
Oh, I was.
Was that illegal? That wasn't allowed. Was that illegal?
You don't smoke in front of the bloody front, in the front line, Tom. You've got to keep the bugger covered up, you know. There are them bugs in the tunnel and that, or in the dugout.
But they turn a blind eye to that then, if you had it? They knew what was going on.
Oh, as long as you didn't, it was one night, this radio officer we had, he decided to stay on the front, stay on all day. And they were going to, must have been going to shell the Green Hill and that, you know, going to put a barrage down. And Muggins got the bloody job again, carrying his battery.
What was that, his wireless? What, is the battery for his wireless?
Well, he used to carry the bloody wireless and on your back, you know.
How big was that?
Ooh, bigger than that, like a small pack. Just put straps on, you know. Well, me and him was in this dugout and we stopped in. Got daylight. Been there about an hour, you know, and he stick his aerial up. Well, he must have had the bloody glasses on him. The bugger started mortaring us. Better run for it. Over the top. Got about 30 or 40 yards to run.
What's still carrying his wireless?
All right. And we run like hell, him and me. Pretty obvious, he's a captain. Over the back and his bloody mortars he had, Jerry. Look at that dear.
So they decided to shift you from where you were.
Aye.
To like outflank them.
So they had to go try further down. They knew they couldn't get through that much.
So how did that work? How did you have trucks to carry your stuff, or did you just have to just carry it around?
No, they took us, we pulled out one night, and the trucks were there, and they took us further down the front, said your name, and we were in the wood, with these bivouacs, two-man bivouac.
Was that better than a dugout?
Aye. Nice in the woods, and grass and that. well in, you know, he couldn't be seen because he was on the bloody hillside about a mile and a half away. But we were back into the trees. That's where we started the attack from.
So how did that work? Did they tell you that you were going to attack
them? Oh, aye.
Or what did they say?
First England, I got red RC Padre, see? He come round. RCs. And go to a certain spot in the wood. And they had mass confession and all that, you know. And we went there on the night. I said, there's something bloody up here. And where we was the next morning, we were all lined up there and away over the bloody, over like a big plain, you know, about a mile to go. About half a mile and he opened up, everybody dropped.
Did you run the half mile or did you just walk?
No, I just walked. And he opened up off the top. We just dropped and then up, you know, just carried on.
But a walking pace still.
Oh,
why didn't you run?
Hmm?
Why didn't you like?
Well, I don't know, we might have done the finish.
Did you have a lot of gear to carry?
Oh, no, we just had a FSMO, Field Service Marching Order, small plot, weapons and that. We might have run the finish, but the bottom of the hill was like a cliff. It was about 10, 12 feet. We all ran into that, see. And then we go further along, it would like get up, slope, each side. Went up there. And he was on the top, he was only about 200 yards in front. He didn't get up, we were crawling up, like grass. Bushes and that, you know, crawling up through them, the bullets was flying all over.
Were you fired? When did you start firing back then?
While you got up.
Not until you weren't, not while you were moving along then?
No, I just got up so far. You'd see where the firing was coming from. We'd have a pot shot, you know.
Did you not call up any artillery or planes or anything? Or
no, not. The last morning we went in, they put a barrage down. A lot. Artillery, mortars, everything. We're all lined up at the bottom.
Now go back to the first when you first get there. You know, to go back to that where you just run the distance.
Oh,
and you're at the bottom of the hill, so what happened then?
You couldn't get up this like a cliff. But there was farther along each side, it was sloped. You get up there, so we got up there. And he was on the top.
You couldn't see them, though, you could just see the gun flashes.
No, you couldn't see them. There was one, it was a young fella. He was out, he was about 20 yards in front of the line, and there was some bloody word got round that the people on top of the hill were French, and they wanted to shoot her, and they the commandos were with us that morning, so. These two commandos, one of them had his rifle and bayonet and put a white flag on, like somebody's vest or something like that. And they went up. And they thought they were French. And they were talking. You'd see them shouting like that, you know. And this bloke was about 20 yards in front of them. He was only a young lad, he's a big, tall lad, Jerry. He was sitting in this like a hole, and he had his rifle. And the bloody cartridge cases, you should say in the buggers. Anyway, They realised they were juries. And what the hell was it, Hamlet? I think this bloody jury had a shot at him. He was only on top of it. He was only a few yards away. And the other bugger, he had a couple of shots and he hit this jury in the wrist, and he hit him in the leg. So the jury got another one in, he got him right in the groin. Yeah. Anyway, I was about 15 yards back. And I went up, crawled up. And this bloke, this commando, he was lying. He couldn't do anything with him. He couldn't put a tourniquet on him or nothing. And the jury held the fire. Anyway, we got this young one out, a young jury, we got him up, took him back. And all the time this was going on, there was never a shot fired. You know. Anyway, we got him back. I think that might have saved their lives, that. Because we took him back and, well, the next day, I think it was, we got caught.
But what was the jury doing out in the open?
Well, he was in front, he was like a sniper. He had us pinned down, man. If he saw a piece of grass going, a bloody bullet was coming over, you know. He didn't move. Couldn't.
But why did people think he might be French? Or not,
I don't know. But they thought they were French. They thought we were fighting our own bloody allies. Bloody bad.
Was that the first German you saw close up then?
I think it was the morning after when we got caught and they took us back. We'll see the buggers all lined up in bloody great men. Bloody machine guns, a bloody lot. But there wasn't many of them. There wasn't all that many.
So you were stuck on the side of the hill?
Yeah.
And then what happened after that?
Oh, they marched us back.
No, I mean, before you were captured, you were on the side of the hill. With all the other blokes.
Well, they all went up, the barrage. Start the barrage. It was 3 yards in front of us.
But you said that you were there for... There was like another one in between that. There was three attacks or something, you said. So what was the second? What was the second one?
Well, it was just the same. We had another go on the Sunday morning, the same as the Saturday.
So you just moved a little bit and got a bit
on the bloody Saturday, it started raining. Oh, never known rain like it. It just straight down. And,
How were you getting your food in that, during that time?
Oh, you just... When it got dark, get down the night and get some of the eat. I was sat rushing out. And, but on the morning went in, the last day. We got in. We're on the bottom. These barrages started. And the artillery and our mortars, our 6-inch mortars, 2-inch mortars, the lot. We started both 40 or 50 yards in front of us. And we went up the hill, you know, like all the way up. While Jerry was on the top, he just had a bloody run back. About 50 or 100 yards. And then when the bugger stopped, he just run back again to where he was. And we followed it up. A bloody sergeant came crawling over to me. He says, there's a bloody machine gun over there, he says. And let's see it, Tony. I says, aye. He was firing up our asses. We're going up the hill like that. He was down there, he was firing like crossways over there. Well, that's when my man got hit. What was his name, man? Foster. I says, aye. He says, let me go at him. I had to go up. The brain. He was lying alongside us. He says, oh, he says, I've been hit. You got up, you were weird, down the bank. I didn't go to him.
Did he stop when you fired at him?
Huh?
Did he stop when you fired at
him? Oh, aye. Oh, I got him. There's a few of them. He got up, he thought it was all over, but...
But the Germans?
Aye. Caught the buggers. Anyway, he stopped. So there's me, there's only... They'd all gone forward. But they'd all been bloody knocked out. I was not. I thought they were in front. I thought he'd gone over the top. Mm. Anyway, I had a bloody Lance Corporal who took over as number two. And I says, we better get up there and get out of the bloody top. I says, we're going to be... You know? So instead of coming back, as we should have done, we went up towards them.
Because you thought the other British were further up the back?
We thought our lot was over the bloody top, you know.
What had they really done? Had they retreated?
Well, the buggers had knocked out and took prisoner, and there was any more killed, man, wounded. So anyway, we're going up through the grass, you know, crawling away up, and I heard these voices. They were getting nearer and nearer. Lying on the bottom, his pretty head popped over the top, and there was about six of them, Jerry's. You stand up, you get up.
But you're going to have a pot shot at them, though.
Hmm?
Don't you going to have a pot shot at them, you and the Southern Bloods?
I was going to have a pot shot, and the bloody rifle wasn't bloody loaded.
But you swapped guns. Oh, was that mate of yours that was with you?
Yeah, it was bloody Lance Corp. It was a miracle, that.
What was he called?
Hey, belonged to Bishop Barton. I says, hey, they coming. I says, there's somebody coming. I says, when he pops his, if they pop their heads over, I says, there we go. Well, yeah. I'd given them the brain in the meantime. I said, hey, I'm sick of bloody death. Pulling this bloody thing about. I said, hey, have a go at this. And we heard these voices. And I had his rifle. So I says, have a go. Come out of the bloody top, so this bloody head came over the top and hacked the bloody rifle. I pulled the trigger. Nothing happened.
What happened then? Did you just
get up? Well, if the rifle had been cocked, I would have gotten him. But there was about six of them. Who would have had it? We'd get killed. There and then. He wouldn't have took us bloody prisoner.
Why not?
Not one of the bloody mates out. Doubt it. Yeah.
So what did they do? What did they look like?
Oh, they were blokes. They were like paratroopers, man. They were.
What gate did they have? What kind of things did they have?
You know, the old pig cap on and the Tommy guns. If that rifle had been cocked and I'd shot, yeah, I'd fired. We'd get more.
Because they would have killed you for killing one of their friends.
Well, they wouldn't mind the heat of the moment. They would just shot us there, lying on the bloody bottom. There was only two. There was about six, seven of them. There was one, a bloody Arab among them.
Was that? What was he?
Well, he's one of these bloody mercenaries, I think.
Interpreters or something like that?
No, they used to get the buggers. They used to join up just for, you know, those Arabs fought for the bloody Germans, man. Those Arabs fought for us. They used to change sides, them buggers.
So the rest of the battalion, were they all just all scattered?
Yeah, the rest of the company, C Company, all the other the other companies, I don't know what the hell happened with them.
So what did you discover, like, when you say these, you know, when you say these blocks after the war, and that you pieced together what happened, what happened with the rest of them?
Edgar got wounded, he got shot in the foot. Bloody problem.
And there was that bloke that got shot that crawled away and you never saw him for 46 years.
That was Foster, number two. Never saw him 46 bloody years.
What about the others?
That was him. Local. George Local.
Who was that?
He was the bloke that was left with me. There was only two of us left.
I thought it was that Norman Kirk.
Norman. I don't know what the hell happened. Norman was with... He was in another section. Norman. Well, he was took prisoner the same morning. I met him at the back. When we got back behind the lines, he put us all in like a bloody big barn.
So what happened at first, though, when you... You just being captured by these German blokes. Did you think you were going to get shot? Did you think, you know, what do you think?
No, they seemed all right. There was one officer who met after. He took us back, you know, walking back. We carried one of our lads, he's wounded. There's four of us got a... We had a gas cape. Put him on the gas cape and carried him back. All the way back. And they had like... A couple of miles back, they had like a little failed hospital and that, you know. They had their wounded in. There was... These like tents, they like stood together, tents, and make streets of bloody tents for them. Jerry's. And there was like a track. And one side of the track, there was Jerry's, and the other side was English, with the bloody rifles and tin hats and that, bits of wood with buried. Well, that was 3 days, you know, in the 3 days there.
So did they, when you were captured, did he chuck your cigarettes or something, didn't he?
How did that happen? Well, they got us back and then he lined us all up and went through our pockets and that. We had a couple of 20s, you know, and where did every book around? Took them. Comrade. That's for our mates, so they said. Well, he would tip, I suppose.
Did the blokes at the front line, not, did they not take? Did the blokes at the front line, did they not take? You think they'd have the first?
No, we'd move farther back.
So they would like to send somebody to escort you back?
There's one officer got his bloody, he took his, one of them took his bloody watch off. He was playing hell with a bloody German officer. He says, there's Germans that you speak, there's a lot of them could speak English, you know. He says, he's took my bloody watch. He got it back.
Well, you got your glasses nicked, didn't you?
Another bugger took me bloody glasses out of my pocket when he was going through my pockets. I had my glasses in. He took them out. And it was on the night. We were in this big barn. And he must have shoved them in to somebody. Opened the bloody door and shoved them in. Somebody had them. My name was inside. He shouted my name out like, anybody in here called Tunney? Aye. That's the glasses. So they were decent blokes. Oh, they were the CEO. I was talking to the CEO on the bloody night.
What, the German CEO? What did he say?
He said he'd been in England and different towns he'd been in, you know, before the war. They were like, it was a special mountain division, mountain There's a bloke telling us Sedgefield, he read a book. They were mentioned in it, the Sedgefield and that. And they were specially trained for mountain fighting, you know. Oh, they're all big young fellas, man, hand-picked, like bloody commandos. Yeah. And a lot of them spoke English.